Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Everyone loves Cedric Maxwell, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Cedric Maxwell, hello.
Oh, hello, gentlemen. Hello, hello. Not a good day for the Celtics, you know, with the passing of Tommy Heinsohn. I was, when that rap came on, I was thinking, like, when I check out, somebody's going, yeah, Max just gone. He's gone. He's gone now. He's already out of here. So
I doubt that, Max. I really do.
No, I agree. That's probably what's going to happen.
And then somebody give me some bacon and eggs, okay? That's what I'll say. Yeah, sure.
But you got to, if you're, but, you know, this is the, Heinsohn, this is the way you want it to be. I mean, people, you know, he lived a long life. People, you know, are sad that he's gone, but they celebrate his life. And that's all you can ask for. I mean, that's, to me, that's a life well lived right there.
Yes, it really is. And the thing I'll say about Tommy Heinsohn is that, and you guys can go back and forth with this probably once I'm off, but I'm not sure if Tommy Heinsohn was the most loved Celtic of all time.
Well,
because you think about the way that he transitioned through eras. When he played, then as a broadcaster, then as, you know, a coach, and, you know, on and on. And even late in his years, you know, I could go into a room with Tommy Heinsohn, and it would be, yeah, that's Max right there. But, hey, but you know what? That's Tommy Heinsohn right there. Hey, Tommy, give me a Tommy toy. So he has lived a longer life on that shelf life than anybody I know when it comes to popularity with the Celtic fans.
All right, so a lot of us obviously have, you know, seen him on the television, and we know what he is on TV. You had this, you have a unique perspective that he coached you, and what was it like? What was that relationship like? Because was he a kind of guy that could rub you one way or the other, or did everybody like his coaching style?
I think that, you know, coaches like that who are very opinionated, who are loud, but he was loud more to the officials than he was really to his players. You know, his players loved him. You know, I think at the end of his career, the end of his, I think my first year when he got fired, I think that the players by that time had kind of heard enough from Tommy, like JoJo, like, you know, like Havlicek, guys like that, you know, the yelling sometimes. I think it kind of got to him. But for the most part, he was just a great dude. And I loved him more. And even there were things he would say to you. He would say to you just to get you going, just to see how you would react. I mean, for instance, he asked me one time, he said, why do black people always, you know, vote Democratic? I looked at him like, what the hell?
Whoa.
hey there, white man, you might want to back up a little bit, all right? But he would say it just to get you going. I think one of the funny things, I always tell a story, to me, one of the funniest things was, you know, if you're a broadcaster for the Celtics, you're occasionally going to get a call about something you might have said that wasn't 100% correct about the Celtics. And I got a call one time from Rich Gotham, the president of the Celtics, something I had said about one of the players or a situation of a trade. And Rich Gotham said to me, he said, you know what, Max, you know, we heard what you said, and we need you to be more like Tommy. And I was like, if I was more like Tommy, I'd have to be the Incredible Hulk, because I can't be that damn green. Nobody could be as green as Tommy Heinsohn was when it comes to bleeding green. He was just that kind of person. And I was telling him, I said, I can't be Tommy. There's only one Tommy Heinsohn. There's only one person who sees a play like that. The only person I knew that could compare in that situation would have been Johnny Most. Johnny Most and Tommy Heinsohn were the only two people that could look at a basketball game and the Celtics would never make a foul. That was crazy.
Yeah, you're not going to get that anymore, too, unfortunately, because of, you know, social media. Now it's like this instant feedback of everyone's going to say, oh, you're wrong. This guy is such a homer. Like, Tommy gave zero Fs when it came to that. He just...
He totally did when it came to that. And even now, if you are that kind of broadcaster in any of these teams right now, you're not going to be alone. You're not going to be here no more than about a day before they ship your ass out of here. Because nobody's going to be able to look at a game like that, dissect a game like that, and tell fans about the game without them looking like you're bogus. But in Tommy's case, Tommy can scream, yell, and holler at the officials and call them all kind of names, and nobody really cared. They were like, well, that's just Tommy.
That's because he had more cred than anyone in the room. Like, at any point, there was no one with more cred, Celtics cred, than Tommy Heinsohn. So he could get away with anything he wanted to in that room.
That the only person that probably would have had more credit than he did, that I saw him sit down like a little child and listen to, was when he got around Bill Russell. That's the only time I've seen Tommy kind of take a back seat. And the other guy, maybe Bob Cousy, because Tommy worshiped Bob Cousy. He loved himself some Bob. So those are the only two guys I saw him kind of take a back seat to. Now, Red Auerbach, maybe another one could be in the room, and Tommy would, you know, kind of defer to Red. But everybody else, like you said, pretty much Tommy was on top of it.
Well, when Tommy talked about how the tunnel was named after Ted Williams instead of Bill Russell, I thought that was a pretty good quote when he's like, the guy won championships, won a gold medal, you know, won 50 games in a row.
Bill was a winner.
And he goes, and they named the effing tunnel out of after
a guy who never won anything.
That was awesome. Yeah.
I mean, that's
Tommy is the only guy that could get away with that kind of statement in this city when it came to anybody like that. That he could talk about Bill Russell having a statue maybe in front of the Garden instead of Bobby Orr, or could talk about Ted Williams in that way of not, you know, Bill Russell. So Tommy did have that cachet, that swagger that, you know, you'd love, that bravado if you were around him, that you'd be like, damn, this dude right here don't give a damn. And I like it.
I think ultimately, Max, the stories, the behind-the-scenes stories are the best ones. We've heard a lot of them from Mike Gorman of traveling on that plane. You spent a lot of hours traveling from city to city with him. What's your favorite? What's the first Tommy story that comes to mind?
First Tommy story that comes to mind with me, that Tommy was, for the longest time, was a chain smoker. And so he would be on an airplane, essentially would be irritable if we were coming across country. Sometimes we'd make a stop, say we'd fly from L.A. and we'd have a smaller plane. We'd land in someplace like Kansas City halfway. And literally he would get off the plane, be near where the guys were pumping the gas in, smoking a cigarette. Are you kidding me? One time I was with Tommy and we had a longer flight. We came from L.A. to Washington. And, oh, my God, he was miserable. So once we got off the plane, they put all the players on the bus and put me and Tommy in a limo in Baltimore to Washington, D.C. In that 40-minute ride, Tommy must have smoked, 10 cigarettes with me in the car. I was dying. I was dying over there. But, you know, it was just like I just said, you know what, this is Tommy. I'm going to take the secondhand smoke. If I check out, hell, you know, nobody will care anyway.
All right. Well, all these years of you guys broadcasting side by side, not quite physically with the new TD Garden, you're kind of in a different area than he is. But I mean, but you guys being very close to each other for most of this, by the way, that's still a crime. I still can't believe they do that to you. But what he obviously is known for picking fights with these refs, and the best was when he would say their name, like he would actually say their name on the broadcast, and that's when you know, okay, it's about to get real. How close did you like? Did you ever see things almost get a little out of hand? Like one of the refs finally just say enough and have to say something to Tommy?
I think they would always look at him in this real, you know, like Jerry Crawford did not take any crap from anybody.
Oh, yeah.
And Tommy would use his name. So Joey Crawford would turn around and just stare daggers right into Tommy. But there were things that Tommy would say that, you know, he'd get away with, and you would, like, as a broadcaster, you're going, I can't believe he would say that. Now, people didn't realize when I was talking about the bacon and egg thing that I was mocking Tommy. I wasn't really mocking Violet Palmer. I was like, ah, go make me some bacon and eggs. People never realized that. And, you know, I'm very seldom to get a chance to tell that story. But two weeks later, Tommy said something which was so offensive that everybody just kind of, you know, went over it. Like, Yao Ming made the ball. And Yao Ming, it went out of bounds. And Tommy says, well, you couldn't catch that basketball with those chopstick fingers. He said, what? He said, what? Chopstick fingers for Yao Ming? And nobody said a word about it. So Tommy was an original. He was, you know, not only was he, you know, I consider him a mentor, but I consider him a friend. And that's what I will miss more than anything about him. People have talked, are you guys going to miss Tommy? No, because Tommy's voice will resonate in the Garden forever with Celtic fans. And when calls are bad, people will think about Tommy Heinsohn.
Yeah, and you're right, too. The more we talk about this, the more it's just you can't. You're never going to have a guy like that anymore. And it was just, and it was such a valuable asset to the broadcast. I mean, that was the one thing that was, it was great. Having an ultimate homer, and Mike is obviously the consummate professional. He would sit there and he would, you know, he'd call a great game. But then, you know, you had the ultimate green teamer sitting though over there screaming, and he would, no matter what, he was always, you know, on your side, and you just can't have that anymore. And that kind of sucks, because you'd have to be someone with as much carte blanche and as much respect in an organization as Tommy Heinsohn has, and I just don't know if you're going to be able to mix that with the personality that he had. I just don't think it's going to exist anymore.
No, I don't think it's going to come back anymore, and I don't think it should come back anymore, because broadcasting now is completely different. You don't do it the way you did it, you know, when Tommy was broadcasting the games. Players were a lot more like they were your buddies. You go out and eat with them. Now you're pretty much separated from players. But so I don't think that era or that person will ever be relevant again in any sports league. When you think about how games are called, how players, how coaches, how broadcasters go in different situations, Tommy was the ultimate green guy. And so no, that won't happen again.
All right, well, Cedric Maxwell, we should celebrate those that are living. And Esoteric, write a Cedric Maxwell rap.
There you go. You?
Let him enjoy it while he's here.
I've already got a line for you. Cedric Maxwell is fine and dandy, but he always liked Wallach better than Grandy.
DJ White Guy, I love you.
Cedric, I want you to know that was the first time Dandy was ever used in a rap song.
Rhymes with Grandy. That's the only word I can come up with.
Look, I give the man his due. I can't say anything else, you know. You know, anytime. I didn't know you guys had Eminem on the stage with you. No. I'm sorry.
No, we have Mr. Winslow. All right. Listen, Cedric Maxwell, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks,
and we do appreciate it.
All right, guys, take it easy.
All right, take it easy. There you go. The great Cedric Maxwell. Everyone loves Cedric Maxwell.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.